If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Smith, and now it's time for a little music. I have always wanted to talk over this beat. In fact, growing up in Utah in the 1980s, I imagined that this song would play over the opening credits if they ever made a movie out of my life. I should remind you, that is Adam Ant. If you watched MTV in its early years, when it was still music television, you know Adam Ant. Swashbuckling military jacket, white stripe of makeup right across the middle of his face. He had a whole pirate complex. He was a man of the 80s, a man of the moment. Now, after a nearly two-decade hiatus, Adam Ant is back with his first new album in 17 years. The title is a bit of a mouthful. Adam Ant is the blue-black hussar in Marrying the Gunner's Daughter. New sound, new album, and it turns out a new fashion statement for Adam Ant. We described it from our London studio.
Well, it's a kind of Napoleonic hat with a sort of about 1854 British kind of brocade waistcoat that is exactly the same design worn by Lord Byron. It fits in with a kind of cavalry trousers and then high boots with a tricolour bandana around the middle. And now I'm sporting a sort of a moustache and a small goatee. So it's got a kind of slight Victorian feel to it.
So this is your first album in 17 years. Where have you been? What have you been doing?
I started, you know, in the music business in 77. So I'd pretty much doing music solidly till 85. And after that time, I got asked to do a Joe Alton play in Manchester at the Royal Exchange Theatre. So there was an opportunity to get involved in this other art form of acting, this other creative avenue. I sort of fell in love with it. So I took about 5 years out just doing that. I did a couple of plays and TVs in the States, you know, Northern Exposure and Equalizer and such. Moved to Los Angeles. And then I went to live in Tennessee, where my daughter was conceived. And then I started to get the pangs of wanting to get back into songwriting and performing again, which took, you know, about 3 to 4 years to put that together. So add that all up, plus being a house dad for about 4 years, it flew by.
Well, it's interesting because the first song off your new album is a surprising one because it's about Tennessee. It's sort of the last place you expect to picture Adam Ant in rural Tennessee. Let's listen to a little bit of the song. It's called Cool Zombie.
For a time I live in Tennessee, a prince he'll believe. Oh, zombie, down and down and down.
Tell me the story of this song.
I was getting married. Unfortunately, we're not married anymore. But the plan was to drive from Miami up to Las Vegas and get married in the Elvis Chapel. And we're driving along. We stopped off in a small town in Tennessee. And as I always do, I look at the local sort of magazines and what have you. And there was an advertisement for an A-framed house on the Vale of Tennessee. So we had a few hours. And before I knew it, I was up there looking at this most beautiful view. So suddenly the plans changed and I thought if I don't take this opportunity to buy this, I'm not going to do it. So we bought the house, got married there instead and spent 2.5 years sort of very, very peaceful time there.
I'm on an A-frame house to suit me. I'll top off the Vale of Tennessee.
And Tennessee was a marvellous place to experience.
Adam, you came out of the punk scene in the 1970s in Britain and when we first sort of see you over here in the United States, you seem sort of far from punk. You have this iconic pop presence. The song, I Remember, Stand and Deliver.
Stand and deliver! Stand and deliver!
An amazing song because it was like this whole pop package. It was the persona, it was the music, it was this perfect little pop song.
Having come out of the kind of punk rock, which was really a catalyst, really just of breaking down a wall of kind of music, quite simplistic songs. I'd focused really much on the craft of songwriting, structural singles and learning a bit about scanning. And also this revolution had come along, unbeknownst to everybody, the video. So suddenly my art school training, I'd been to Hornsey College of Art, I was able to storyboard my own videos and sort of get involved with the direction as well. So with the birth of MTV, the two came together.
Is there a downside to this video era in that you had locked yourself into a very particular image and persona? And once MTV came out, people expected you to sort of replay that role
constantly, like no matter where you showed up. Did that ever end up being difficult?
Not really for me. That's what you do on stage is a presentation, like an actor would get ready for a play. You know, I go in and you prepare and then off. And then it's really for me a bath and go to bed.
So wait, you would take the makeup off when you go to Starbucks? Yeah. You don't wear the hat?
Absolutely not. No, no. But with every album, there was definitely an effort on my part to change everything musically, visually. Every album had a new look and a new sound. That was something that I was very deliberate about in order to avoid just being associated with one particular look. That isn't necessarily the best way of having a long career in the music business, because it's better to be much slower than that, you know, just take it very gradually. But with me, I had a very low boredom threshold.
Well, it's interesting. As you would put on different images, you could see the stylistic things you were doing move quickly through the culture. The military-style jacket shows up on Prince, on Michael Jackson. Do you know how they got it from you?
I did actually receive a phone call from Michael Jackson. And I thought it was a joke. I thought it was my drummer, Terry, so I wasn't particularly polite. But it was actually Michael. He basically just came out and said, where did you get the jacket from? You know, I'd like to have a look at one. So I gave him the details, and I think he went and had one made in white. And eventually, when I went to Los Angeles, we met up and we talked about clothes quite a great length over a course of a day at his home. He was still living with his parents.
I'm speaking with musician Adam Ant. He's out with his first new album in 17 years. There's a song of the album that I really liked called Shrink, and let's hear a little bit of this. You write, "Is it just me or is it just medication?" Now, you've been very public about struggling with mental illness, with bipolar disorder. Is that line a question you've asked yourself? Is it just me or is it just medication?
I think that's a question about the kind of finding the right formula, the right kind of medication for you, because there are many medications dealing with this problem. We don't know enough about the brain at this point in history to be able to, you know, get inside it. And one day, hopefully, we'll be much more educated about it and the medications will be more pinpointed. You have to embrace the medication and try it on the recommendation of your doctor, and be honest and tell them how you feel. Without that, the biggest danger is people just stop taking it because they feel okay. But there are other methods that complement this. Getting out of the house, you really know who your friends are, speaking to your family as much as you can, and just not feeling the sense of shame.
The life of a rock and roll musician is tough enough. It's tough enough without having to deal with this. This must make it much more difficult to figure out how to pace yourself.
Well, yeah, that was the biggest issue with me. I think the biggest lesson I've learned is to say no. Before, I felt, having had 3 years of playing clubs and pubs and bringing out an independent album that was kind of not a big seller, and then you suddenly get your chance. Suddenly, you're a pop singer. It's almost like, you know, being told no, 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 and then it's like, yes. So I really just didn't stop work for 7 or 8 years, and that was, I think, the key problem. I've learned to say, you know, I don't feel comfortable with this. I want to take my time. I want to pace it. And I have my own record label now. So pretty much the buck stops with me.
That was Adam Ant. His new album is called Adam Ant is the Blueback Hussar in Marrying the Gunner's Daughter. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
And I do have to say to all my high school girlfriends in the 1980s, eat your heart out. I got to speak to Adam Ant before you did. So. Your poster was in all their bedrooms. You know how intimidating that is, sir?
Oh, yeah, well, hopefully it will be again with their kids, or their grandkids, who knows. I got caught French Valerie, gave a gold plate chain to me, mentioned who had given it her, an old friend named Vince Taylor.
For the record, I didn't have that many girlfriends. And for Saturday, that's Weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Smith. Check out our weekly podcast. Search for Weekends on All Things Considered on iTunes or on the NPR smartphone app. You click on Programs, then you scroll down. We're back on the radio, of all places, tomorrow. Until then, thanks for listening. Have a great night.